Dear kind and righteous Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, privileged that you have given us another day of life, another day we have never seen before, and another opportunity to hear the message of the gospel about your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that this opportunity you have given us, that we take advantage of it to listen to those things that Brother Parker will proclaim unto us this evening, that we will follow along in our own Bibles, Lord, to see if those things he teaches from your inspired word, are those things are so as you would have us to have them, and to believe the message that it pertains to your Son, Jesus. Lord, pray that in the message tonight, he stand bold on the fact that we all are going to have to stand and give an account to your Son, Jesus. Pray, Lord, that everyone listening to the sound of Brother Parker's voice on tonight will move with great haste to decide for themselves if they are in the faith or if they are obedient to those things your word commands. Pray, Lord, that someone is searching for the truth tonight and desires to be baptized. We pray also, Lord, that someone listening tonight who was a member of the Church of Christ is listening and desires to be restored. Lord, may your word have free course on this evening. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Plunder. We're very thankful to have each and every person on tonight, especially those of you who are not members of the Church of Christ. We are very honored and the distinguished guest of our audience. Tonight, our speaker, the person, Brother Lewis Parker, will bring us a message. This topic has been assigned to him, and we are so thankful that he accepted our invitation. He's the minister of the Sugar Land Church of Christ in Sugar Land, Texas. Brother Parker will come now as the second defender of truth of this month. He will talk about judgment. God's word has settled the matter forever about judgment. Brother Parker, tell us what we need to know about this judgment.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Brooks and Brother Flounder. So we just appreciate the opportunity to be on the Nationwide Gospel Call this evening. I'm very excited to be able to come again and to preach the word of God. And we're very thankful for Brother Tommy Brooks of the Highland Heights Church of Christ for his foresight and wisdom in designing such a program. We thank you for all the sponsors and the faithful listeners. And we're thankful for Brother Anthony Flanders and Lubbock, who's very instrumental in the success of the program as well. And I'm just blessed to be on, y'all, preaching to such a large audience on this Nationwide Gospel Call. And as Brother Flounder and Brother Brooks mentioned, I'm Lewis Parker IV, minister to the Sugar Land Church of Christ in Sugar Land, Texas, which is just outside of Houston. And so we appreciate the theme for this month of this great lectureship. God's word has settled the matter forever. And I just love that so much because we know that God's word is supreme. And when we look out across the world today, there are so many different people saying so many different things. There are so many different preachers preaching so many different things. There are so many different teachers teaching so many different things. But as Brother Brooks mentioned in his lesson last night, the Supreme Court in heaven has ruled, and ultimately it does not matter what he said or what she said. The only thing that matters is what God said. And so we're thankful for such a program that's established to get to the heart of the matter of what God said, what thus saith the Lord. And therefore, I'm thankful for all the great men who went before me and who will come after me, who are standing firm on what God said and not what man said. And so today the topic that I've been assigned is about judgment. So we'll talk this evening on what God has said about judgment. And so one of the things I want us to realize about this, and I'll be speaking a little bit from my background, my personal background. As some of you know, I went to law school. I am a licensed attorney, and as such, to some degree, I was able to study law and a little bit about American jurisprudence. But of course, you don't have to go to law school to know about the various sources of law. When you look even at our American system of jurisprudence, our court system and our governmental system, you recognize that there are various branches of government. You have the judicial branch, who's responsible for interpretation of the law. You have the legislative branch, who's responsible for drafting the law. And also, you have the executive branch. And within the executive branch are certain key agencies which are responsible for enforcement of the law. But also, not only do you have different branches of government, you have various levels of government as well. You have the municipal government, you have independent school district governments, you have county governments, you have state governments, you have federal government. And at these various levels of government, one rules supreme over the other. But what I want us to know tonight, that no matter how many branches, no matter how many levels of government there is, the supreme law is the law of God. And also, we recognize in American jurisprudence, one of the very first things we learn and probably the first week of law school is the difference between authoritative and persuasive law. If you live within a certain jurisdiction, if a court makes a ruling in that jurisdiction where you live, then that ruling is binding, what they call binding. In other words, people who live under that jurisdiction must abide, and all the judges and who live under that jurisdiction must abide by that decision. Now, if you don't live within that particular court's jurisdiction, that decision isn't binding or authoritative under that jurisdiction. However, it can be persuasive. But what we see about God's jurisdiction is that his jurisdiction is not limited to a particular city, to a particular region. God's jurisdiction is everywhere. And so we cannot escape the jurisdiction of God. So Psalm 119, verse 89, the Bible says, "Forever, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." So God's word is eternal. God's word is, always was, and always will be. And not only is his word eternal, it is established. And so God's word was established before man was even created. So therefore, it lets us know that man does not have the authority to change what God has established. So what about the judgment? The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Also, we see in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, John the Revelator writes, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So notice how these verses let us know that there is a standard. It says that the books were open. In other words, people were being judged based on something. And so we recognize a few things about judgment. And I will give you these points as well as the verses that I have in this presentation up front. And that way you can go ahead and record the points as well as the verses used. And then we'll proceed with the message. So the number one point is that we recognize that judgment is has a perfect standard. The judgment has a perfect standard. We also recognize that the judge is fair and just. The judge is fair and just. And lastly, we'll recognize that at judgment, there will be no hiding nor deceiving. No hiding nor deceiving. So firstly, we recognize that the standard is perfect. It's a perfect standard. The judge is just and fair, and that we cannot hide or deceive. There's no escaping the judgment. And the verses that we will use and have used thus far, Psalm 119, verse 89, Hebrews 9:27, Revelation 20, 11 through 15, Revelation 20, 11 through 15, also 1 John 1 and 5, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, Acts 10, 34, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, Galatians 6 and 7, Matthew chapter 24, verse number 36, Matthew 24:36, and Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. We'll summarize that. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. So, number one, the standard that we're judged by is a just and fair standard. is a perfect standard. Why? Because we serve a perfect God. As a matter of fact, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 tells us, this then is the message where we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Why is that verse important? Because it lets us know that as the judge, God has no darkness in him at all. So therefore, the standard that we are judged by is a perfect standard because the judge himself is a perfect judge. So about the judgment, we see a lot about the person and the attributes of God. God as judge. As a matter of fact, the Bible lets us know that Jesus would be the judge. And as such, he has a perfect standard because Jesus being God is perfect. So notice here that man can make a mistake. And man often does make mistakes. But we could be rest assured that God does not make mistakes. So therefore, we are judged according to a perfect standard. Once God gives the law is perfect. The standard is perfect. Why is that important, Brother Preaching? Because when you look at American jurisprudence alone, not to mention the laws of the many countries and the many nations, just our country alone, the United States Constitution has been amended 27 times. In other words, it's been changed. It's been modified. Why? Why was it necessary to be changed? Because something needed changing. In other words, it was not perfect to start with. Also, we realize that in man's standard, the TCADP lets us know that at least, I believe since the 70s, at least 170 individuals have been released from death row because some sort of evidence shows that they've been wrongly convicted. See, what I'm saying is that man's law is not perfect. Also, laws change often over time. Sometimes they change based on popularity. Sometimes they change based on the standards set by society. But one thing about God's law is that God's law is perfect. Therefore, since it's perfect, there's no need to change it. Because the lawgiver himself, which is God, is perfect, and God does not change. So the standard that we're judged by is a perfect standard because the judge himself is a perfect judge. Not only that, the standard is just and fair. The judge and the standard are just and fair. Acts 10:34 lets us know that then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." In other words, that when we come up on judgment day, it doesn't matter how much money is in someone's bank account. False evidence won't be let in. And true evidence won't be kept out. We cannot beg for leniency based on how much money we have or based on our status in society or how much we donated to the judge's campaign. Because the judge is just and fair. And so we should take comfort in knowing that we'll be judged based on our works, not based on hearsay, not condemned for something we did not do, but the judge is just and fair. And he judges us with his perfect standard because he's just and fair. Also, we'll realize that as people facing judgment, there'll be no hiding. There'll be no deceiving. We cannot escape the judge. No matter where we go, no matter how high, how low, how wide, how far, there's no escaping God. Because as far as we run, we'll run right into God. Like I mentioned earlier, his jurisdiction is everywhere. His law is eternal. There is no escaping. We cannot lie our way out of it. We cannot hide things because things will be brought out in the open because he's no respecter of persons and his eyes are everywhere. So we cannot deceive. We cannot hide. Galatians 6:7 tells us, be not deceived. God is not mocked. It says, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Notice another thing about judgment is that we cannot predict when Jesus will come again. We cannot predict when we would face judgment. Matthew 24:36 says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So we cannot live life the way that we want to live. And then whenever we see judgment come and say 12 days away, all of a sudden we get life. No, it doesn't work like that, y'all, because we have no idea when judgment is going to come. But the one thing that we each got to do, and that's what, if you're not a member of the church, you got to prepare yourself. You've got to become a member of the Church of Christ. You've got to be baptized, because so that way you can be ready for when judgment comes. And if you are a member, you've already been baptized, you've not been living in accordance with Scripture, you got to get prepared to. We each got to be ready, y'all. We got to be ready. And we got to stay there, because we don't know when it's our time to die or when Jesus is going to come back. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back and when we're going to face judgment. But what we do know is that there is a standard. The standard is perfect. The judge is fair and just. And we cannot run, we can't hide, we cannot deceive. But we do know that we better be ready for when he comes. We better be ready. Notice that I like to take this to Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goat. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And notice that Jesus continues there in Matthew chapter 25. He continues after giving this illustration about the sheep being on the right and the goats being on the left. He says, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So notice it starts off with that separation between the sheep and the goat. In other words, the righteous and the non-righteous. And Jesus is judging based on the works that they've done or did not do. And he's saying to them that when you are helping others, then you're part of that righteous. Notice he said that when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was in prison, you came and visited me. When I was sick, you took care of me. You did all these things. And then they said, when did we ever do any of this stuff for you, Jesus? Jesus said, as much as you've done it unto the least of these, my brother, you did it to me. Then you have the other group. He said that when I was in prison, you didn't come visit me. I was sick, you didn't tend to my knees. I was hungry, you didn't feed. I was thirsty, you didn't give me something to drink. They say, when did we not do this to you, Jesus? And as much as you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me. So notice that these, you have two groups here, but the standard was the exact same. And so when we face judgment, everybody's going to be judged by the same standard. It's not going to be one law that's applied to one person and another law that's applied to another person. We're each judged by the same standard. Now it's up to us. It's up to us to choose whether or not we're going to live in accordance with the law of God, or are we going to create our own law and live thereby? I'm here to tell us tonight that we have better live by God's law. We had better accept and not reject the law of God. And I'm saddened to say that you have many people who are preaching anything and everything except the law of God. And I'm here to tell you that you ought to research it. You ought to look behind every preacher today. I ask you, I encourage you, even when the things that I preach, you go and check behind me as well. Because the fact is that every preacher ought to be glad to have people check behind him. Why? Because he needs to know that he's standing firm in the law of God and not preaching anything else but the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Because when it comes to the law of God, God's word is settled. There is no other law. We could take it, we could twist it, bend it, shape it, and mold it into what we want it to be. But at the end of the day, God's law stands forever. We could try to take it and make it fit us. At the end of the day, God's law stands forever. And at judgment, is not going to be any changing God's law. There is not going to be any loopholes where we're going to get on. It's all the same standard. So my encouragement to the audience tonight is to realize that there is a judgment. And to realize that that judgment is there's a perfect standard. The judge is just and fair, and that there will be no escaping, no deceiving the judgment. But we will be judged. And it's up to us to realize that there is a law of God and that we must live in accordance with that law. We cannot change it. We cannot change it to fit us, but we have to change ourselves in order to fit the law. Speaking of the law of God, I'm also here to tell people who are not members of the Church of Christ that if you want to be saved, You have to be saved in accordance with the law of God. Because in the end, on judgment, that's what we're judged by. We're not going to be judged based on the word of the preacher. We're not going to be judged on what thus says pastor or bishop or reverend. We're only going to be judged on what thus says the law. And if the so-called pastor, the so-called bishop, the so-called reverend, these false preachers, if they're preaching anything other than the word of God, then guess what? They're going to be condemned in accordance with that same law. So I encourage you to go to the word of God yourself, and what you'll find is that in order to be saved, you must hear the word of God, the facts of the gospel, the fact that Jesus died, he is buried, he rose again. The third day, I'll give you the verses to these, Acts chapter 15 and 7. You can read it for yourself, Acts chapter 15 and 7, Romans 10, 17. You have to believe that message. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Hebrews 11 and 6. You must repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, Matthew 10, 32, Romans 10, 10. And finally, be baptized, be buried in that liquid tomb of baptism, Acts 2, 37 and 38. I know that many people are teaching many, many different avenues to salvation today. But the law of God's been settled and is very clear. The verses that I gave you let us know that in order to be saved, you hear the word of God, believe, repent, confess, and you are baptized. That's the law of God. Please, I beg you, please do not allow yourself to be led astray by man's law. Do not allow yourself to be led astray by something fabricated by man. Because in the end, you're going to be judged based on God's law. And you don't want to come up short at judgment. Because once the determination is made, there's no going back. So while the blood is running warm in our veins, we have opportunity. But as soon as there's no more blood running in our veins, as soon as our hearts are beating no longer, as soon as there's no activity in our brain, there's no more opportunity. So all we have, y'all, is right now. And so that's why I urgently encourage you that if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you need to contact one of these many fine preachers who are preaching on this program. Contact Brother Brooks. Contact me. Contact somebody. You could call me. You could email me. You could get my information from Brother Brooks. Email me. Call me. And if you don't live in the Sugar Land area, I'll help you find a sister congregation that's near to you. Call Brother Brooks. He'd do the same thing. Call any of these men. You're out in West Texas, you call Brother Flung. Because at the end of the day, we care about people, we love people, and we care about your soul. That's why we tell you the truth in love. And the truth is that if you want to be saved, you got to do it God's way. Because at the judgment, you'll be judged in accordance with God's law. If you're a member of the Church of Christ, but you say, you know, I need to get my life right, again, you have opportunity. You need to use that opportunity to get right before it's everlasting and eternally too late. Get right. So that way, whenever it's time for him to call and us to answer, that we can look back and see a well-spent life and look forward to everlasting life with him in glory. But it depends on what we do right now. Y'all, the message is yours. Thank you for lending me your ear. And thank you for allowing me to preach the word of God. Thank you, Brother Brooks, Brother Flounder, and the listening audience. To this end, I commend you to God and to the words of his grace, which are able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. May God bless you. Thank you, Brother Brooks.
And thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, brother. It's a great follow-up to my lessons on last night. We are in the court of law this whole month. I realize that after listening to you and thinking about the Supreme Court of Heaven, as I talked about last night, all of our speakers that are coming on have a law background in the law of God. And defenders of the truth, such as yourself, even though you have a secular degree in law, that's great. And tomorrow night, we've got Brother Otey, another attorney. And I was just thinking about, we never selected these men because of their secular background. But it's interesting to me that these men are standing with us this week. And we're in the court of law. We're really thinking about the law of God. And I appreciate you, brother, for bringing this message to us, to our listening audience, that everyone understands law. They understand penalty of law. And if you can get this part, the listening to those who are listening, you understand law. And God has given us a law. And if you want to be saved, you're going to have to obey that law, just like you have to obey the laws of this land. Or there's a penalty that comes with it. It's very simple. It's really very simple. And the judge is just and perfect, as our brother has taught us tonight. It's the perfect law, and it won't be changed for you. So here's what we want you to do. If you're on the call tonight, and you're thinking about this like we are, that you've got to stand before God the judge, and you have to abide by the law that you got in your house right now, the Bible. There's the law. That's the law book. Have you obeyed that law book? Then you know if you haven't obeyed it, you're not going to be saved. That's what it comes down to. So what do you need to do? I'll tell you what. If you want to get baptized, if you want to become a member of the Church of Christ, you want to obey according to the law of God, and you want your soul to be saved, so you want to suffer the penalty of disobedience to the law, then get back with the person who invited you to the call and tell them you want to obey this law, the law of God. And then you get back with them. I'm sure they'll make arrangements for you to get in touch with me if you need to, or whatever you need to do to get baptized. They get in touch with their preacher, wherever it is, in the Church of Christ. They'll take care of that. If they can't, or if you prefer for me to do it, go ahead and email me at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will make the arrangements for you wherever you are. If you want further study, say, I'm interested, but I still got questions, we'll make that happen for you. You're a sound preacher, a man of the law who understands. Our preachers, I'm not just bringing on anyone. I'm bringing on men who understand the law of God. These are defenders of the truth. The truth we're defending is the law of God. If you want more information, just go ahead and email us. And you may want to go back and listen to Brother Parker. Listen carefully to his message or any of the other ones that we have on our website. Go to our website, HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And there you will find all the recorded messages. You can sit down in your own closet, get there by yourself, and listen to these messages and think about it. The law has said you're going to die. We already know that. We got to ever read the Bible. But the problem will be dying in your sin and then facing this judge. Thank you, Brother Parker, for another great lesson on judgment. Let's pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. And we thank you so very much for loving us and for loving us so much that you gave your son. We thank him for giving his life on that cross, shedding the blood that washed our sins away in baptism, and that purchased his church, the Church of Christ. Father, we want to thank you for giving us this book of your law and telling us that this new law that we are under is a good law, that you're willing to forgive us and to remember our sins no more because you gave your son and his blood to wash our sins away. Thank you for giving us that line. We can read it. It's simple for the listening audience. We pray not only for those who are not members of the Church of Christ, but we pray for members of the Church of Christ who have fallen away, who have left this simple truth, or in congregations who have left this truth, that they too will grab hold of the necessity of obedience to this law and obey it before it's eternally too late. Restore themselves, revive, come back to the truth, and even advise their preachers and elders, let's go back to the truth. Because this law will stand, and all of us will face the judge in judgment. Father, we thank you for giving us this. Help us, Lord, help us. Help us through this effort to reach those of our brothers and sisters who love the truth. Help us to reach those who are not members of the Church of Christ, who have never obeyed the truth. Bless us. Bless our effort. Thank you, Father, for all our preachers who defend your truth and stand with your law. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for joining us tonight. Tomorrow night, Brother Melvin O'Tay, another defender of the truth. He's coming out of his seat. We got all of our men sitting in the seat. They're getting ready to rise up as attorneys of the law of God, defenders of the truth. He was talking about same-sex marriage. Y'all don't want to miss this one. Unfortunately, our Supreme Court got this wrong in the United States. But God never got it wrong, because God is not a man. Don't miss it. Make sure you invite someone. And have a good night. God bless.